Hi everyone, you're on again with Listen to L Boogie. Today is Thursday, June the 30th, 2022. And it's been a minute since I've done an episode, but in this episode, we're going to cover a few topics and maybe more. Preferably, the overturned Roe v. Wade and the fallout from that. We're going to dive right into this news. And maybe a bit more after we return from this short break. Peace. Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. We're going to dive right into our first bit of news concerning the Democratic Party and their issues. More than 1 million voters have switched to Republican Party in last year. Reports. More than 1 million voters have switched to the Republican Party over the past year, including tens of thousands of swing voters, with some declaring they can no longer support the Democratic Party's policies, according to a report. The move to the GOP is occurring in every part of the country, in Democratic and Republican states and cities since President Biden defeated President Donald Trump. An analysis of voter registration data by the Associated Press found. Over the past year, about two-thirds of the 1.7 million voters who changed party affiliation shifted to the Republican Party, and over more than 1 million people became Republicans compared to about 630,000 who became Democrats. The shift, most notably, is playing out in the suburbs, which played a critical role in Biden's 2020 victory. Well-educated swing voters who voted against Trump appear to be returning to the Republican Party, analysis show. The report also indicated that the Republicans are gaining ground in suburban counties outside Denver, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland, with some who made the switch saying they've had it with the Democratic policies. It's more of a reject of the left than embracing the right, said Ben Smith, 37, from Lamar County, a suburb just north of Denver. Smith also said he reluctantly registered as a Republican earlier this year after the Democratic Party embraced COVID vaccine mandates, focused on racial justice, and appeared unable to curb the rise of violent crime. Jessica Creoles, also a resident of Lamar County, said she was a reliable Democratic voter until 2016, but the party left me behind in 2020. The party itself is no longer Democratic or Democrat. It's progressive socialism, the 39-year-old homemaker said, pointing out her opposition to Biden's plan to get rid of billions of dollars in student debt. The report examined roughly 1.7 million voters across 42 states likely switch party affiliation over the last year, looking at a combination of state voter records and statistical modeling. The data showed a marked reversal from the slight edge Democrats had in a number of party switchers nationwide when Trump was in the White House. The influx of people to the Republican Party poses a dire threat for Democrats who are struggling with Biden's plummeting poll numbers, skyrocketing gas and food prices, decades-high inflation, and the aftereffects of the coronavirus pandemic as voters go to the polls in November to determine who controls Congress. But the report noted that last Friday's Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade, which established a woman's right to an abortion in 1973, could alter the suburban voter landscape by motivating women to vote. The Republicans have been capitalizing on the frustration many Americans are experiencing by hosting voter registration events in swing states like Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Biden and the Democrats are woefully out of touch with the American people. And that's why voters are flocking to the Republican Party in droves. Republican National Committee Chair Rona McDaniel said, McDaniel predicted that American suburbs will trend red for cycles to come because of Biden's gas hike, the open border crisis, baby formula shortage, and rising crime. The Democratic National Committee declined to comment about the shift in voter affiliations. Still, some conservative leaders are calling on Republican candidates to tell suburban voters what they stand for rather than what they stand against. Emily Seidel, president of America's For Prosperity, a conservative political advocacy group, begun by David and Charles Cope, or the organization is seeing suburban voters moving away from Democrats who espouse extreme policy positions. But that doesn't mean that they're ready to vote against those lawmakers either. Frankly, they're skeptical of both options that they have, Seidel said. The lesson here, candidates have to make their case. They have to give voters something to be for, not just something to be against. Alrighty. It's going to be pretty tough on the Democrats in November. As soon as we return from the short break, we're going to go over Roe versus Wade and the fallout from that. See you guys after the short break. Peace. Hi everyone, you're back on with Listening to L Boogie. We're going to go over the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade and the fallout. Buckle up. Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, ending right to abortion upheld for decades. In a historic and far-reaching decision, the U.S. Supreme Court officially reverses Roe v. Wade on Friday, last Friday, declaring that the constitutional right to abortion upheld for nearly half a century no longer exists. Writing for the court majority, Justice Samuel Alito said that the 1973 ruling and repeated subsequent high court decisions reaffirming Roe must be overturned because they were egregiously wrong, the argument exceptionally weak, and so damaging that they amounted to an abuse of judicial authority. The decision, most of which was leaked in early May, means that abortion rights will be rolled back in nearly half of the states immediately, with more restrictions likely to follow. For all practical purposes, abortion will not be available in large swaths of the country. The decision may well mean, too, that the court itself, as well as the abortion question, will become a focal point in the upcoming fall election and in the fall after that. Joining the Alito opinion were Justices Clarence Thomas, appointed by the first President Bush, and the three Trump appointees, Justice Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. Chief Justice John Roberts, appointed by President George W. Bush, concurred in the judgment only and would have limited decision to upholding the Mississippi law at issue in the case, which banned abortion after 15 weeks, calling the decision a serious jolt to the legal system. He said that both the majority and the dissent displayed a relentless freedom from doubt on the legal issue that I cannot share. Dissenting were Justices Stephen Breyer, appointed by President Bill Clinton, and Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, appointed by President Obama. The said that the court decision means that young women today will come of age with fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers. Indeed, they said the court's opinion means that from the very moment of fertilization, a woman has no right to speak of. A state can force her to bring a pregnancy to term, even at the steepest personal and familiar cost. Okay. With sorrow for this court, but more for the many millions of American women who have today lost a fundamental constitutional protection. We dissent, they wrote. Alito's opinion, okay, Alito's 78-page opinion, which has a 30-page appendix, seemingly leaves no authority uncited as support for the proposition that there is no inherent right to privacy or personal anonymity in various provisions of the Constitution, and similarly no evidence that people's reliance on the court's abortion precedents over the past half century should matter. Alito pointed, for instance, to Planned Parenthood versus Casey, 1992 decision that upheld the central holding of Roe and was written by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, Anthony Kennedy, and David Salter, all Republicans appointed to the court. Alito pointed to the language in the Casey opinion that he said conceded reliance interests, which were not really implicated because contraception could prevent almost all unplanned pregnancies. In fact, though, that 1992 opinion went on to dismiss the very argument as unrealistic because it refuses to face the fact for decades people have organized intimate relationships and made choices in reliance on the availability of abortion in the event that contraception should fail. Not exactly the concession that Alito described. It is not unusual for justices to cherry pick quotes, but not so out of context, and not from former colleagues who are still alive and privately not amused at all. Excuse me. In the end, though, Alito's opinion has a larger objective, perhaps multiple objectives. Writing for the majority, he said forthrightly that abortion is a matter to be decided by states and the voters in those states. He wrote, that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. As to what standard the court should apply in the event that a state regulation is challenged, Alito said, any state regulation of abortion is presumptively valid and must be sustained if there is a rational basis on which the legislature can have thought it was serving legitimate state interests, including respect for and preservation of personal life at all stages of development. In addition, he noted that states are entitled to regulate abortion to eliminate gruesome and barbaric medical procedures, to preserve the integrity of the medical profession, and to prevent discrimination on the basis of race, sex, or disability, including barring abortion in cases of fetal abnormality. Ultimately, the transition of all that is the states appear to be completely free to ban abortions for any reason. Oh, damn. That's it for that. There's lots more information, but for the sake of time, it's basically how it went down last Friday. No personal opinion on this subject at the time. Oh well, this is the end of this episode of Listen to L Boogie. Just wanted to come on and give you guys skinny on these two events. And I'll be sure to holler at you cats at another time. Like I always say, y'all be good to each other. And I'll talk to you guys again the next time God leaves his footprints in the sky. I'll holler. Peace.